Holy Spirit, come now in your word and show us what you have for us through the words and deeds of Jesus, and continually speak to us his truth this morning. And may it reach deep into our lives that we might continually be like him. In Jesus' name, amen. Why zebras don't get ulcers. It's the name of a book, a bit of a bestseller by Robert Sapolsky, and he summarized a lot of medical research that somebody else did on the effects of stress on the human body. And he described why, in fact, zebras don't get ulcers. You want to know? Of course you do. You have to. When zebras are under attack, one of two things happen. They either run away or they get eaten. Pretty obvious. Yeah, they either run away or they get eaten. Zebras do not stay stressed. We do. We people are the ones that stay prolonged, stressed, worried, and feared for many things. And many people doing medical research have found so many ways that fear, worry, and stress are terrible for your body. President Roosevelt, after the Pearl Harbor bombing, famously said, "The only thing we have to fear is what? Fear itself." And he was right on so many levels. Fear is powerful. And it is so powerful, it affects your whole body. Have you ever lost sleep due to worrying, or slept more than usual due to worrying? Or have you ever skipped a meal or ate an extra meal or three due to stress? Or among the other terrible things that fear and stress and worry can do to your body are high blood pressure, leading to heart issues, depressed immune system, and then your body can't fight off all sorts of things and you get sick. Stress reduces protective fluids in your digestive lining, which leads to ulcers. It changes your body chemistry, which raises your risk for diabetes, and that chemistry also leads to depression, all those changes. Your hair can fall out. Your brain undergoes changes and can't remember things or can't form new memories, which in colloquial terms, people say stress makes you dumber, and it's true. And that's just the beginning of the list. But what I think is far more deadly is not what stress, worry, and fear do to your body, but it's what it does to your soul. As dangerous as, and there's a lot of things you can read about it, how worry is bad for your body, I think it is far, far more dangerous to your soul. Because worry makes our souls shrivel up and stop trusting God. Now, before we go any further, I do want to say if you're struggling with a serious anxiety disorder, I think there's a lot more to that, and it's complicated. But here, I think Jesus is talking about what we all go through is this ongoing, continual obsession over controlling our lives, which means when we're controlling our lives, we're not trusting God. And the single most commonly used phrase in all of the Bible is what? Do not be afraid. Stop worrying. So as we've been going through the middle part of Luke this summer, we've kind of let Jesus be Jesus, speak to us, tell us things, look at some of his healing stories and many of his teachings, and some are quite challenging. This one is familiar, although Luke tells it a little different than Matthew. We're often familiar with the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. Luke's a little different the way he tells it, and Jesus certainly would have spoken these things many different times in different places. And here I want to share with you Jesus' words again. It says, "He turned and said to his disciples, 'Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and body is more than clothes.'" Oddly enough, he's likely talking to people that had one pair of clothing. So every day you wake up, "Gee, what should I wear?" Well, I'll wear the same thing I wore yesterday because it's what I have. Then he says, "Consider the ravens. They don't reap or sow and have no store or barn, yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than they? And then who of you can worry and can add even a single hour to your life? And since you can't do that tiny little thing, so just add time to a day, why worry about the bigger stuff? Consider then the flowers. Just look at them. I tell you, Solomon in all of his splendor did not look as good as one of these. If that's how God treats flowers, how much more will he care for you? And he says, but seek first his kingdom, and all these things will be added. Do not be afraid. He says it again. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Verse 33 then, sell your possessions. Give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that won't wear out. A treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The things that we spend our time on and our resources on, our heart will follow those. So in this section, and Luke connects more than Matthew for us, that worry has to do often with our stuff. Now, we'll spend most of our time talking about worry, but there's a connection to our stuff. That is our money, our time, our resources, things that we value and hold dear. But fear and worry are powerful. So let's think about it. What has it been for you lately? What have been the things that have kept you up lately? What have been the things that have taken up too much of your brain and too much of your heart and then affected your body? What have your fears been? What have you worried about? And then what Jesus is really asking, how has that affected your soul? How has your worry affected your trust in God? Fear is powerful. And pay attention to it, especially in kind of this political season we're in. People are always trying to get you to fear something in order to do something else. Keep your eyes and ears peeled for it. You'll be amazed at what you hear people trying to tell you to be afraid of. It's powerful, and it causes us to do very irrational things. And yet the most irrational thing we could do because of our fear is to not trust God. And when we do that, my heart ends up saying, God, this seems so big, this thing that I'm fixated on, and you seem so small. And therefore, God, I'm just not sure I can trust you. Which is why the most common phrase in all the Bible is, do not be afraid. And we heard it from the beginning of our Old Testament reading. So many different people, God is telling this to all throughout the Bible. It's hundreds of times. Here's just some of them. To Abraham, we already read this morning, he said, fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be great. And then if you read on, Abraham says, hey, God, but I don't have a son. Translation, you're telling me to not be afraid, but I'm not sure I can trust you. And then Abraham's fear, irrationally, led him to have a child with Hagar, his wife's servant, instead of trusting God. But then Hagar, when Isaac was born, so Abraham's heir, Isaac, was born. Hagar had already had Ishmael, and Abraham sent her away. But then God even came to her and protected her and sent an angel that said, don't be afraid. This isn't your fault. God will be with you. And then Joseph, at the end of Genesis, when his brothers were trembling before their slave brother turned Egyptian ruler, wondering if he was finally going to exact revenge on all of them, Joseph turns to them and says, don't be afraid. I will protect you, and I will provide for your family. To the Israelites that were standing with their toes touching the Red Sea, God said, don't be afraid. Stand there firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will do today. And then to Joshua, as he is chosen to lead the Israelites into the promised land, God said, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And then to prophets, countless prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Joel, Zephaniah, Haggai, and more, God gave all these different messages that strangely all included the words, fear not. And then to Joseph and to Mary separately, when the angel appears to each of them to tell them about the birth of the Savior, the angel has to again say, fear not. When Jesus walks on the Sea of Galilee and the disciples were terrified that it was a ghost coming for them, what does Jesus say? He says, "Don't be afraid, it's me." And then when Jesus rose from the dead, both the angel and Jesus had to remind the disciples, "Don't be afraid." And to you and to me, Jesus has a few things to say to us here in Luke chapter 12. And a few things to say to you and I in the middle of your fear, in the middle of your worries, and in the middle of your stress. And one of the things Jesus says is, consider the ravens. Now, if you read the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew just says birds. Why would Luke want to emphasize, hey, that Jesus said ravens at one point? Well, according to the Old Testament, ravens were unclean animals, according to Deuteronomy and Leviticus, which means that they then considered them to be at the bottom of the barrel, among the worst or dirtiest creatures. They were way down, and Jesus says, consider them. And look how much God cares for them. How much more will God care for you? And then flowers, consider the flowers. They can't do anything. They just stay planted where they are, and God waters and grows them, and God cares for them. If that's how God cares for flowers, how much more you? And then you get to verse 32, probably my favorite part. He says, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God, the King, has given you His kingdom. And it wasn't begrudgingly, oh, I feel bad for these people, or you keep making a mess of your life, and I'll have to forgive you one more time. No, no, no. It is the Father's good pleasure to spend all that He had at the expense of His own Son. This is how much more does God love you. At the expense of Jesus in His death and in His victory and His resurrection, that's how much God loves you. And because God died for you, that means we can't even begin to describe how much God loves you. And because I can't even begin to tell you how much God loves you enough to bleed and die for you, that means your biggest worry of all of them is taken care of. The biggest worry that we could obsess over, what happens at the end of this life? What happens when I die? The biggest worry of all of them is done. You don't have to worry about that. Jesus is alive. He has the scars to prove His power over sin and death. And because you've been promised a perfect eternity and the biggest worry we could possibly have is completely taken care of, Jesus gives you His peace now. Which means God is bigger than whatever it is that you've been afraid of. So there's this kind of a little cheesy game that I've played for a long time. I forget who taught it to me. But it's not that hard, but it's really helpful. And it's simply called the God is Bigger game. Maybe you know it. Whenever you find yourself afraid of something, stressed about something, worried, just stop and say, God is bigger than that. He has the scars to prove it. Try that with me. God is bigger than that. He has the scars to prove it. Try it out this week. Whatever it is that's kind of churning in your mind and you can't get beyond it, whether it's wondering about what's going on with your health or a loved one or what's going to happen in the future or financial concerns, whatever it is, say, God is bigger than that. He has the scars to prove it. So whatever it is, I don't know what that is for you and what that has been for you or what it might be, but if you can, stop yourself and say, God is bigger than that. He has the scars to prove it. Now, that's the worry part. Now, just a brief word on stuff. So Luke connects the two. And so I did have to say a word about it. As you get to the very end of Jesus' teaching, and He has some really practical commands. He says things like, sell your stuff, give to the poor. So He connects worry, Jesus connects worry and stuff. You see, when our worries control us, and we get afraid, we end up clenching tightly. to whatever we have. And whether it's money or time or possessions or resources, well, we just kind of, when we're gripped with fear, we just kind of clench our stuff. But Jesus is saying, hey, you have been given the whole kingdom. God's bigger than all of those things you could worry about. Jesus proved that with the scars on his hands and his feet and his side. You're completely freed, completely forgiven, which means you can loosen your grip and you can help others. If you want to sell something, sure, get rid of it. You want to give money to help people in need? Sure, go right ahead. You want to give your time to help your neighbor with a project? Sure. You want to drive somebody somewhere that can't do it themselves? Great, go. We no longer have to hoard and clench. You are freed to give. As Jesus said, do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Or, say it with me, God is bigger than that. He has the scars to prove it. Amen.